Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. This is your show for January 23rd, 2018. It is a Tuesday. I will be taking calls. The call-in line is 1-800-313-9443. 1-800-313-9443. So, the government's up and running. Isn't that wonderful? I don't know how many people really noticed, especially seeing as two of the 3 days were on a weekend, and the government doesn't do a whole lot on the weekend. And then Monday, of course. And, of course, a lot of the things that the government does didn't get shut down anyway. If you were impacted, if you noticed, then you're probably in the minority. I think sooner or later people would have noticed. It would have been more of an inconvenience if it had gone on. But apparently just those 3 days were long enough for Chucky Schumer to realize that maybe it was kind of a bad strategy. Maybe it was kind of bad optics to shut down the government over illegal immigration, over amnesty for illegal immigrants. And no matter how they want to spin it, the dreamers, beautiful dreamers, they're illegal immigrants. And of course, you can make a sympathetic case for children who are brought to this country through no fault of their own. But when part of the deal that they were insisting on was that then these children who are grown up now for the most part, often in their 30s, that they then be able to sponsor their parents who did have a responsibility in breaking American law, the parents who came here illegally as adults, knowingly breaking the law and bringing their children with them, in many cases, endangering their children's life if they walked across the border through the southwestern desert, that these people get to stay too, permanently. Oh, sure, they have to be re-sponsored by their dreamer kids every 3 years, but they get to stay. It was coming to light. People were seeing it. We keep being told that DACA, that the DREAM Act, is very popular. Well, it's popular to the extent that people don't really understand it. And I will grant that the 800,000 DACA recipients are certainly not the least sympathetic of our 11 million plus, maybe plus another 11 million, who knows? We don't know how many illegal aliens we have, but the DACA recipients are not the least sympathetic. They are not the lowest hanging fruit in the immigration debate. But yet, when you think of everything that the government does, why would the interests of these DACA recipients, who here we are in, you know, January, and the DACA program, I mean, doesn't even expire until March anyway. Plus, if it expires, does that mean everybody is suddenly deported? It doesn't. They were here all these years illegally. Oh, they have to live in the shadows. Well, whatever that means. If most of them, or a big hunk of them, are in places like California, which treat them as first-class citizens anyway. It's not that their lives were really hanging in the balance, and by making them into the, Senator Dick Durbin said, you know, his singular mission, he called DACA his singular mission. Go to his website, his Senate website, just look up Dick Durbin, go to his website, you'll see. Amnesty for DACA is a singular mission. That this was bad optics. There's a lot of problems that the United States faces, immigration and otherwise. there's all sorts of problems we face. Tucker Carlson likes to point out the opiate epidemic. There's all sorts of problems that we face. And yet, to shut down the government over DACA was bad optics. And you're seeing this now. So the Boston Globe, Michael Cohen, certainly a Jewish writer, one would think, with a name like Michael Cohen, at the Boston Globe, shut down lessons. Republicans are shameless. Democrats are brainless. And he's very critical of the decision to shut down the government over DACA. At the New York Post, Rich Lowry, Schumer listened to the resistance and lost badly. You'll see these on the National Bugle, nationalbugle.com. They're in the elections and politics section. There's something else that's interesting that's happening. You're increasingly getting the resistance. You're getting the mainstream media focusing on Stephen Miller, who's a 32-year-old policy advisor, a Jewish kid from Santa Monica. CNN did a little 3-minute video documentary on him. It's interesting. He's only 32 years old. They had footage of him as a high school kid addressing a rally. They have footage of him years and years ago, maybe when he was a congressional aide debating Bill O'Reilly on Fox News. They have him talking on television about the Duke lacrosse scandal, the Duke lacrosse, where the white lacrosse members were wrongly accused of having raped a black stripper. Of course, it never happened, and really, whites raping blacks is not a thing. It's interesting that when at the Globe Awards, the Golden Globe Awards maybe, or the Emmys, or I guess the Golden Globe Awards, that Oprah wanting to talk about the Me Tooism and frame it in racial terms, when she was looking for a case of a black woman being gang raped by whites, she had to go back over 70 years to, I think it was 1941 or 42, and she talked about some case that nobody had ever heard of. The cases that people have heard of, the only two cases that she could have gotten from modern times of whites gang raping black women, Tawana Brawley in New York and this Duke lacrosse thing, both of which were hoaxes and were proved to be hoaxes later on. And the white men all exonerated and the black women having to admit that this isn't what happened. Tawana Brawley was just sleeping with her boyfriend and had to make up a story so she wouldn't get in trouble with her parents, which probably wouldn't even happen nowadays because nobody seems to care about that anymore. At any rate, it's interesting that this is happening. Stephen Miller, so they're focusing their attention on Stephen Miller. At a recent daily press briefing, Sarah Huckabee Sanders was asked if Stephen Miller has veto power. Now, what happened with Steve Bannon a year ago or so when Trump first became president? If you'll recall, Saturday Night Live, among others, but Saturday Night Live started talking about Steve Bannon as if he were the president. They had Alec Baldwin, who does the Donald Trump impression on Saturday Night Live. He'd be in the white Oval Office, and then somebody dressed in a Halloween costume of the Grim Reaper would come in, and that was supposed to represent Steve Bannon And the Grim Reaper would tell Donald Trump what to do. In some cases, tell Donald Trump, okay, get away from my desk, meaning the big desk in the Oval Office, and the Grim Reaper would sit down in it, and Donald Trump would go to a little kiddie desk and play with toys. And they did this, and some people think, certainly the people at Saturday Night Live think, that they got to Trump this way, and that this helped break up the relationship between Donald Trump and Steve Bannon. I don't know. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. Maybe Donald Trump is that thin-skinned. I don't know. But they're trying the same tactic with Stephen Miller, trying to say that this 32-year-old kid is running the White House, at least in terms of immigration policy. So they're asking, does he have veto power? And CNN, they have that little 3-minute montage, which I recommend seeing. You look at it, it's Trump takes immigration cues from President Stephen Miller, excuse me, if you heard that in the background. The article is written by Paul Begala, who is not Jewish. He looks kind of Jewish, but he apparently is not Jewish. And he is a longtime Democratic strategist. He's a Clinton associate. He was a consultant for a pro-Hillary super PAC in the last election. And he was often on Saturday Night Live, CNN. I think Saturday Night Live is probably a better source of news than CNN, probably a little bit more substantial. But he was often on CNN on Anderson Cooper's panels, and he was always taking the pro-Hillary seat. But at any rate, so they are now going after Steve Bannon to make it as if he's in charge. Lindsey Graham, the so-called Republican senator from South Carolina, some people would say not representing South Carolina, representing Israel. Others might say representing Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, and here's a quote, "As long as Stephen Miller is in charge of negotiating on immigration, we are going nowhere." So they're going after Steve Miller. And, you know, if you look at that CNN 3-minute clip, Steve Miller, he's only 32, but he's got a fairly long history, going back to his teens, of being pretty hardcore on immigration. And, of course, Donald Trump, it's not as if Donald Trump needs Steve Miller to tell him that immigration is a priority. Donald Trump, I mean, this was his, he's been talking about it since long before he started running for president. He's certainly been emphasizing it ever since he started running for president. That's what he got elected on. But Steve Miller is probably more of a policy wonk than Donald Trump. I wouldn't call Donald Trump a policy wonk. And Steve Miller might have a better grip on the relative importance of various policies. So what's the relative importance of chain migration? What's the relative importance of the visa lottery? And, of course, not just these existing policies, but various proposals. So when, this is how we have this, the immigration system we have. In 1965, it's not as if the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society and Senator Jacob Javits and Congressman Emanuel Seller, you know, the people and groups really behind the reform of the immigration law, the revisal of the immigration law. It's not as if family unification was their first choice. It wasn't. It was something that they came to later on when they're, you know, initially repealing the national origins quotas. When simply repealing them led to opposition from many who said, "Oh, well, this is going to alter the demographics of the country." And so they came back with family reunification, saying, okay, well, if we allocate most of the visas, you know, 75% of the visas. If 75% of the visas are going to people who have relatives in the United States who can sponsor them, and you don't already have a bunch of Sudanese or Somalis in the United States, if they're not already here and they can't sponsor people, then there's nothing to worry about, Goy. And that was enough to assuage the fears of 85% of Republicans and 75% of the Democrats who wound up voting and passing the Immigration Act. The main group against it, as I've noted before, was the Dixiecrats, the Southern Democrats, who were still suspicious of it. It seemed like there's a logic. I mean, if you don't have Cambodians or Somalis or Ecuadorians living in the United States in 1965 who can sponsor their relatives to come over, then you're not going to have immigration from those areas. And if the only people, if 85%, 87% of the people are of European origin, then you would not expect that family reunification plank to alter the demographics. But what, as Senator Eugene McCarthy later wrote, and he was one of the co-sponsors of the bill, what they didn't foresee was how things like refugee policy would then plant the seeds from which chain immigration could take place. So all of a sudden you accept a whole bunch of Cuban or Vietnamese or Haitian or El Salvadorian or Somalis as Eritreans, as refugees. Now you've got that seed population, and you know many of those groups, because of high birth rates in their native countries, you get one refugee from Somalia, but he might have eight brothers and sisters. And so chain migration from those areas can happen much, much faster. Let's just say you get one Irish person. Well, the Irish birth rate's really low. Let's just say you get an Irish person who comes over as whatever. I don't know if he could claim refugee status, but gets here somehow. He's probably not going to have more than one or two brothers or sisters. And B, most of his brothers and sisters probably don't want to come to the United States. They're probably happy over in Ireland. They're certainly happy in Norway. You're not going to get Norwegian immigrants. The only way you're going to get Norwegian immigrants is if you have a Muslim takeover of Norway. Because otherwise, why would people want to leave Norway? Now, what you might get Somalian or Afghani or Iraqi immigrants from Norway. If you're going to open up immigration from Norway, you're not going to get Norwegians. So that's what's going on. I think we're heading up to the break in just a minute or so. So remember, I'll be taking callers. We can talk about this. We can talk about other issues. But I do want to stick with the immigration issue because that's the flavor of the day. So I'll be back in just a few minutes with more of National Bugle Radio.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
And the Republic Broadcasting Network, publicbroadcasting.org. I'm Patrick Slattery. I'm taking calls. 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. So we're talking immigration today because this is big. This is what Trump was elected on. This was what the government shutdown was about. And remember, this end of the government shutdown is the most temporary of spending authorizations. It was only what. Was it 19 days, 3 weeks, something like that? So in early February, we're going to have another showdown. Now, I quoted a little bit from the Boston Globe, somebody pro-Democrat who's blaming Chuck Schumer for having blundered over this. We have the National Review. Now, the National Review, that I guess was William Buckley's journal, but it's really a very neocon Zionist Jewish dominated publication. It used to be the voice of conservative, of the conscience of American conservatism, for whatever that means, whatever that's worth. But they have an article. And I think it's kind of telling. Don't buckle on immigration. The fight over immigration and a government shutdown is far from over. Republicans right now are more upbeat than Democrats because it's the latter who have felt it necessary to switch their votes. Having voted on Friday against a bill to keep the government open and fund the Children's Health Insurance Program for 6 years, they voted for a similar bill on Monday. The partial government shutdown ended. Well, if you read on, what do they want? Well, they say conservatives should want a balanced deal, One that grants amnesty for illegal aliens who came here as minors, yes, but also steps up enforcement of immigration laws. So remember, National Review, this was one of the headquarters of the anti-Trump movement. And what you have with President Trump is you have a president who's facing two opposition parties. He's facing the Democrats, of course. He ran as a Republican, but only by hijacking the Republican convention, basically, right? Hijacking the Republican primary process. He wasn't welcome. He came in. He had billions of dollars, and he had media access. And the media, you know, as anti-Trump as the media turned out to be, in those during those primaries, especially the earlier primaries, they played into his hands. They sure did. Most candidates were not granting interviews, like on live on-air interviews, because they wanted to make sure that they could control the narrative. So you didn't have a Jeb Bush or Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz granting on-air live interviews. He wasn't calling in. They weren't calling into the morning talk shows. Donald Trump did. And because he was good for ratings, because he was interesting, because he was made himself available, they put him on. And so this combination of access to the people through me, through free media that way, and also the giant bankroll that he had, which could have been used for commercials, and I know he did buy a certain amount of commercials, but not so much compared to a lot of other people. But you know, he was certainly able to fly his jet all over and have these huge rallies, which were costly. But he was able to hijack the Republican nomination, and he was often made not welcome. And the National Review was kind of at the center of this. And now he governs, and he governs as somebody who's facing two opposition parties, at least one and a half opposition parties, because you have, I quoted Lindsey Graham just now, who is trying to undermine Trump's main position, the main issue he was elected on, which is immigration, trying to undermine his relationship with his top aide on immigration. So you have this. So what's going to come of it? You know, we don't know. In February, we're going to have another showdown. And what you're seeing with the National Review is they're trying to frame this as, along with the Republican establishment, as if amnesty for the dreamers, the DACA kids, is a priority. They're trying to make that a priority. And frankly, they probably want as little as possible in terms of concessions from the Democrats. What I suspect is going to happen is that I think that Steve Miller and Donald Trump would probably be willing to concede on the DACA, the Dreamers, in order to get a very long list of their demands. The Democrats aren't going to go along with it. And so you're going to get, for the time being at least, no DACA and no end to chain migration. We'll see what happens. We'll be back after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars, AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Welcome back, National Bugle Radio, with Patrick Slattery and Jeremy from Kentucky. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Doctor, for having me on. Immigration is the topic. I've got a little headline here that I just got into a discussion with about on the social media. New California law fines employers up to $10,000 if they share information with ICE. This is on American Military News article. So, I mean, how about that? California's really going all out, aren't they?
Yeah, now, you say new California law. So was this passed by what I've heard before on Tucker Carlson's show was the attorney general stating that he was going to go after employers who cooperate with federal immigration officials.
Right.
Now, is this based on a law that was passed by the California Assembly?
Well, this article, and it is a little misleading, because there is no, I mean, laws are legislations, right?
Right.
This is the Attorney General, Xavier Becerra, I don't know how you say that name, threatened employers with legal repercussions. And he said that if they share information with federal immigration authorities and violate the state's sanctuary state bill. So this has to do with California being a sanctuary state, which is unconstitutional in and of itself. So he's basing all this off of that.
Yeah, California, what is the basis for California's claim as a sanctuary state? It wasn't a referendum, was it?
Well, I think that it's just an arbitrary thing that they did. There's no they have no legality. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't we lose the right of states in the Civil War and the centralized government won?
Yeah. Okay. So here's so this is from, I guess, January 2nd from Fox News. California, so earlier this month, on this, California became a sanctuary state Monday as a bill that Democratic Governor Jerry Brown signed into law in October officially took effect. So there was legislation last year. Jerry Brown signed it in October, and it took effect this month. And then what's his name? Xavier, whatever his name is, the Mexican American Attorney General is threatening to take action. On Stormfront Radio, I said that you know, this will be the Fort Sumner moment when he actually arrests somebody or prosecutes somebody for cooperating with federal law. What's going to happen? Tucker Carlson's been having people on his show from California. He had a very bizarre-looking Oakland assemblywoman, you know, city assemblywoman, come on, who people were erroneously referring to as a man, but her name was Jennifer or something like that. It was a woman. She was dressed in it looked like some sort of religious robe, but it had rainbow stars of David on it. So anyway, she was making the case that, this is all good. It's all good. Evading all of, Tucker Carlson's questions. So, I mean, what's going to happen there? If you remember your Civil War history, you had, these declarations from Southern states, South Carolina first. And then this was even before Lincoln. It was after Lincoln was elected, but before he was inaugurated. He was inaugurated in March, and you had these declarations. It was something that didn't happen all at once. It was kind of a slow-moving thing. Okay, you've got a declaration of independence. Are you really going to act on it? And, it was when – there are people who are better at Civil War history than me, but when the federal troops or the federal government decided to reinforce the its troops at Fort Sumner, and then the Confederates or the South Carolinians blocked it. I mean, there was a point where, you know, they couldn't just sit there. At some point, something had to give. California.
You could come up with another scenario. You know, Colorado legalized pot. Now, I'm not a pot smoker. I'm neutral. I don't have a dog in this fight. I'd much rather have a fifth of whiskey, Jameson. But that's irrelevant. Here's the deal. You know, what if someone was in Colorado trafficking? Well, of course, the feds, the DEA, would have every right to come and take that person in. So, I mean, you know, the state can make laws to a point, but, like, we have immigration laws on the book. And I was making a legal argument, not a racial one, because everybody on Facebook knows my racial views. You know, we have laws on the books that was legislated about immigration and deportation, and the executive branch has to enforce those laws, period. If they want those laws to change, run it through, you know, the process. And so I don't see how that this could even be constitutional, what California's doing. And that was the point of my argument to the individual on the left in the discussion. I just wanted to see if you heard of this and what your take was on it.
Yeah, no, I've heard of that. And I'm glad you called up so we could kind of clarify exactly what the information was. You know, you raised the interesting example of Colorado and the marijuana laws. Now, somebody could make the case that, well, drug laws were not, you know, these are 10th Amendment areas that should be left to the state. You could make that the federal government trying to enforce drug laws is really overstepping their constitutional bounds. That argument can certainly be made. With immigration, it really can't. And the very first law, or in the first session of Congress, one of the very first laws that was passed was an immigration law and a naturalization law. This is something that has been part of federal government powers unquestioned since the since the start of our federal government, since the beginning of the Republic. So it really is something. If the Californians, the California Attorney General, arrests or prosecutes somebody for cooperating with federal immigration law, it really is a Fort Sumner moment. How do people respond to that? I mean, you've got a lot of people who are saying, well, California, good riddance. You've got, within California, you've actually have a move to go the way of West Virginia, to separate from California and become, you know, maybe an inland California, New California, I think is the terms they're using, in order to create a new state that would not include, you know, the L.A., San Diego, San Francisco Bay areas. It would be, you know, Northern California and inland California, and cutting those areas aside. And there is a precedent where in the middle of the Civil War, and probably not fully in accordance with the procedures that are spelled out in the Constitution, where West Virginia separated itself or was separated from the rest of Virginia. So how would people respond? You know, things can move very, very quickly. I look at the situation we're in now, and I don't think it's that different from the situation the Soviet Union was in the 1980s. And things moved very quickly in the Soviet Union. I think they could have gone in many, many different directions. They went in one particular direction that very few people predicted anything like that would happen. And looking down the road 5 or 10 years from now in the United States, I think there's so many different scenarios that could play out. What do you think, Jeremy?
Well, I mean, exactly. The federal government seems to, regarding states' laws, it's arbitrary. Oh, we're going to let these sanctuary states, we're going to just wink at them. But God forbid you don't let a trainee use the restroom with my 4-year-old niece, because then the state, you know, then the government's going to intercede, right? Now we're going to run that through the Supreme Court. I just think these sanctuary states should be ran through the Supreme Court, these bills as to their constitutionality. And that's the argument I would make to someone if they didn't want to hear my racial arguments, which most of them don't.
Yeah, and that's really very reasonable. President Eisenhower, was watching a video recently. It's Jared Taylor of American Renaissance, and he had a video on what our not just our founders, but our presidents thought about race. And he went through a whole bunch of presidents, going right up to Eisenhower, and he quoted Eisenhower as saying that the thing he regretted most in his administration was sending in the troops to Little Rock to desegregate the high school, or to integrate the high school, adding that maybe it was from a different quotation, but that Eisenhower understood exactly why the Southern whites wouldn't want their little daughters in the same classroom with, the black boys. I don't know what the exact term he used, but I think we're really at a turning point, and it's very reminiscent of the Soviet Union in the 1980s.
Yeah, I really enjoyed your discussion with Stryker about that. It really made sense, the comparison that you made, the United States now with the 80s Soviet Union. This whole immigration thing, you hit the nail on the head earlier. So this is due to Jacob Javits and Emanuel Feller, you know, proposing this and using their goy as their, you know, as their frontman. And this is what got the door open. And now, you know, like you pointed out, this attorney general in California is mixed race. And, of course, he's going to, you know, enforce this bill for the sanctuary state. Of course he is. He wants more of his people in there. to live off of our system.
You can understand, like, his position. You can understand, what's the guy's name? Jorge Ramos. Is that Jorge Ramos on Univision or whatever the network is, the well-known Spanish language anchorman of one of these Spanish language network news shows. He's often on Tucker Carlson. And I remember seeing him a few years back when I guess Jon Stewart was still the host of The Daily Show. So it was probably 3 or 4 years ago. And he was on, and he was really just kind of bragging that, yeah, the future is going to be Hispanic because we're the ones who are having babies. We're coming here and we're having babies. And, you know, you just got to get used to it. And it was very brash and very brazen, completely unapologetic. And, of course, Jon Stewart was the Jewish host of The Daily Show, was entirely sympathetic with him. And I think that the Jewish power structure and their allies of convenience, were running the flag of victory up the pole a little too early. They're running their victory lap a little prematurely. But, you know, things are unpredictable. Who would have predicted that you would have had this renegade billionaire who already had such a high profile from his reality TV show, from a number one rated TV show, that he would have come in and been the champion, even kind of a bumbling champion, but the champion of the white people who are in the process of being dispossessed. You know, it would have been very difficult to predict it, but it happened. It took them by surprise, and now they're scrambling.
Exactly. And, you know, I could go on and on about theories about whether Trump's controlled or not. But the point is that his actual candidacy and his presidency has opened up discussion and opened up a door for us. On that note, if you have time for another question, you were talking about Miller and his hardline stance. Mm-hmm. You know, Miller's talking points are pretty much Steinlight's. Remember that Steinlight wants to control immigration and bring it down to a trickle so that the Jews have time to brainwash the new immigrants. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems to me like Miller could be a talking head for Steinlight. Steinlight was called very racist, not in the Jewish supremacist sense, even though he is, but in the sense of he doesn't like brown people coming in droves either. He was very anti-Obama. Mm-hmm. So here you have a right-wing Jewish tower that says things that a lot of good conservative Christian, you know, right-wing people would agree with, and that's the deception of it. That's the deception of Steinlight. And I'm glad to hear you talking about it more, because it is a very deceptive movement. I just wonder if Miller's in on that. What's your thoughts?
Okay, well, so Stephen Steinlight, I believe he was the head of the American Jewish Committee. Isn't that the name of the organization?
It's the head of his paper's written. Yeah.
One of these big Jewish nonprofits. He's one of these head of one of these big Jewish nonprofits. And I've talked about on David Duke's show a lot. There are different ways of describing them. I originally was calling them the double or nothing Jews versus the cash in your chips and come back tomorrow Jews. Sometimes the terms that David Duke likes, is the crazy Jews versus the cunning Jews. There are some who just push and push and push, and then there are others who are think that they have things pretty good, that things are going along just fine, and they don't want to rock the boat. Both of them are doing what they think is in the best interest of the Jewish tribe, but they just perceive what's in the best interest of the Jewish tribe differently. Maybe not even in terms of ultimate objectives, but on how to get there and how fast. And so Stephen Steinlight would be one of these, you could call them the cunning Jews, one of the ones cash in your chips and then come back tomorrow, don't rock the boat, don't go too fast, that he would be aware that by pushing too hard, you're getting a backlash. Now, the thing is, his objective is he doesn't want a backlash.
Right.
There are some people, maybe on our side, who want a backlash, who think that's the only way to get anything is by having things things have to get much worse before they get better. Other people think things are bad enough already, and we've got to, you know, and if aren't going to be too alarmed at having somebody, even if Stephen Miller is a Steinlight protege, if he's going to be our ally for today, can be our ally for today. Well, hang on, we'll talk after the break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks.
Welcome back to the show, National Mutual Radio, with Patrick Slattery and Jeremy from Kentucky, and we're talking about Stephen Steinlight and his go-slow approach in order to, I guess, boil the frog without the frog realizing what's going on. And is, you know, when you have somebody who is proposing slowing down immigration, what are their motives? Are their motives go slow in order to keep the frog in the water, or their motives to really turn around the situation and turn off the heat? And, you know, at certain stages, the actions are going to be identical. What do you think of that, Jeremy?
Yeah, you know, we know what Steinlight, I mean, he was very open in his paper. I think it was published in 2001, and his ideology was alive and well in the 90s, right about the time that Fox News came online, and Hannity and all those started getting big. Steinlein wants to slow down the immigration in order to indoctrinate the immigrants into this civic American nationalism where their allegiance lies to America so that they can keep an allegiance to Israel. Because to Steinlein in the 21st century, American allegiance is Israeli allegiance. And so that's his motivation. My question is, what's Trump's motivation in his cabinet? And I called in the storm front. You and I discussed a lot in earlier last year about, actually earlier in 2017, yeah, about whether Trump's on the plan or not. Because a lot of the stuff that Trump said, even in his inauguration address, was Steinlein talking points. We don't care what color you are as long as you're a good American and share our values, right? So it's kind of this blurring of race and replacing ethno-nationalism with civic nationalism. And Trump has those talking points, as does Fox News, as does Rush Limbaugh, and all the controlled opposition. I would like to think that, though, that Trump is going to do some things for us, but, I mean, he may very well just be a big, just a small cog in the big right-wing Jewish gear.
You know, it's hard to say anything with certainty. My definition of Trumpism is kind of a last-ditch effort to maintain our basic constitution, our basic form of government, our basic society without, you know, to maintain it in the face of the direction that we're going in, which is completely, like, trashing it and moving to this multiculturalism, kind of neo-Bolshevism, or whatever you want to call it. I think of Trump as being basically sincere, but I could be wrong. I think within his administration, he wasn't ready to put together an administration. He didn't have hundreds and hundreds, actually it winds up being thousands of people that he knew he could appoint that would carry out what he seemed to be campaigning on. And he relied a lot on establishment Republicans. And within the Republican establishment, there are all sorts of people who would be very much, you know, in the same kind of thinking as Steven Steinlein.
And they told me, you know, people said, well, Jeremy, Trump is the white lash. Well, maybe there was a white lash amongst the American people, but if Trump is controlled, maybe he was the pressure relief for the white lash to let it out before it really happened.
Well, We'll see. And thank you for calling in. Please call in again. We can go into these issues more. We can go into Alexander Dugin and whatever else you want to get into.
Thank you, Doctor.
Okay. So that's it for today. Please stay tuned for the Michael Herzog Show. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.